Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I got to tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics. I got to.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
Whistle, which you know what that means. That means we are live face to face.
Sportsaholics on Sunset, brother.
Episode number 125.
And what episode's that, Sheez?
This is the John Sheezer episode.
The All About You, Sheez.
Only because I wore number 25 in high school in football, which I will also remind the listener, which was a combined total I played maybe, I know for a fact, three defensive snaps total. I was the guy that came
more than Rudy.
I played my senior year because
all the same as Rudy.
All my friends and every, you know, were on the team. Just kind of whatever. Just kind of hung out. It's a good time, but it was. I played so little. I remember walking.
How little did you play?
I walked in to, or no, I played a few offensive snaps as well.
I'll say they were offensive.
I remember I got into the game one time, and my really good friend Dan Greenwood was the starting running back.
Fucking Dan Greenwood.
And my other really good friend, Josh Heidemann, was the starting quarterback, and which is why I played, because I'm like, all right, if I'm like, you guys are just going to be gone now every night for the next 4 months? Like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll play football if we can, you know, still hang out and have a good time. But I get in the huddle, Dan looks at me, and his eyes are bigger than I've ever seen him, and he just goes, what are you doing here? Right on the 30-yard line, I'm like, coach, put me in. And then Josh just starts laughing. I'm like, all right, just can we hike the ball? First snap, I get a flag for holding. I'm like, what do you – like, how am I – you want me to block this 270-pound defensive tackle?
That is the name of the game, Sheez.
Yeah, well
– well, not technically. It's just football, but
– so my lack of skill and, of course, my ineligibility due to academics were the two main reasons why I rarely played. But, of course –
rarely played!
So this is
rarely
it.
Rarely played. So this is dedicated to your sportsaholics – your sporting ability, Sheez.
Yes, yes.
This is your episode.
It was, you know –
so I also what you're saying is underrated. You were a two-way football player.
Could have been.
Ironman.
Well, on defense, they just threw me on the scout team, which is – if you're not familiar with the scout team. Scout team is the – who is the most – who is like – the least likely to affect the team if they get injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheezer, you're going to go ahead and be that guy on the defensive end. And then that's where I would get my ass kicked daily because previous guest, Super Bowl champion Ryan Lilja, was on the offensive line opposite me. And so the entire defense practice for me.
But at least you're getting beaten by a Super Bowl champion. Imagine if you – by the way, if it wasn't for a Super Bowl – and a guy who's been on Sportsaholics. Let's say this. He has both credits, which is a rare double credit. I mean, like, I'll tell you this. I mean, Tom Brady's got four rings, but you know what he's never done? He's never been on Sportsaholics. So Ryan has that over Tom Brady. And what I'm saying is it actually took, Sheez, you look at it this way, it actually took a Super Bowl champion to stop you.
That's true. I was trying. I would get creative. I remember one place specifically in practice.
I made him cookies. I asked him out. I got creative.
Kansas, I don't know. Maybe it's like this in other areas too. It's weird. No matter how bad you are, the last two games of the season essentially turn into like a playoff. So if you win the last two games, you can like advance into like a bigger, you know. Anyway.
This sounds like goddamn communism,
it's
Kansas.
Weird. Very weird. So we're going into against Blue Valley Northwest. We're at their stadium, which is kind of like the rich kids. They've actually got a stadium that's brand new, you know, turf and all that kind of stuff.
It has that new stadium smell?
Yeah, I think it was maybe 3 years old at the time. They've probably torn it down and rebuilt something else now since then. But
now it
you
has
know,
a water slide in the park.
Coach DeBold was, you know, pissed. And we
Coach
had,
DeBold?
That was my high school.
You got to be DeBold. You got to be DeBold out there.
The guy, coach, you were average coach, but a hell of an intimidator. He was a college linebacker. I would say he's about 5'11", 230 pounds. Bald head with the horseshoe. the classic, Dazed and Confused football coach shorts.
Sure.
With the tucked in polo.
Yep.
I mean, the shorts couldn't have been no more.
Did you have a jock itch coach? Did you have like a ball
scratcher
coach? Yeah, I had a ball scratcher. My peewee coach was a real, something was wrong in there. I'll just say that.
It, there's something, like part of the reason I'm glad I played high school football, and when I say played again, let me reiterate.
Tackle dummies.
Practiced high school football.
Practice.
Of those, like being in on a halftime speech, there's not many people that have lived and survived a halftime speech.
Actually, lots of people have. I mean, it's a small percentage of the humans on the planet who've ever lived. Now, grant you that.
Let me say football. American
I'm just
football.
Saying a good percentage of American males, a good solid percentage have played some form of high school football. I mean, right. A good percentage.
And I'll even account basketball, because I was witness to some really bad basketball halftime speeches, too.
Guys, you got to pick it up. You're just going to go out there?
Actually, you know what? Let's throw it out there. I have no idea what the stat is. I'm very interested to find out if, like, more American males have played high school football. Like, if it's over 12%, that means, like, more people have played high school football than are gay or are black in this country. And so that would be
Because, I mean, our school was 2,000 people, four classes. So each class was 500. And we had, I think, my senior year, 9 seniors on the football team. So 9 out of 500. So right there, that's what, 2-3% of our class.
Now, you guys weren't one of those, like, we play 7-on-7, 8-on-8, 9-on-9. You know what I mean? There are those schools. There are those states and those schools.
It was just kind of starting. I mean, keep in mind, this is like 1999 was my last year of high school. And so the 7-on-7 stuff was just kind of starting. This was before it's gone into hyperdrive, where they've somehow turned football into a year-round sport now.
Yes.
For the elite guys, but it hadn't quite gotten there. Mm-hmm. But it was we were meeting the summer before to lift weights every day, and we, come in the summer for summer lifting. And I remember the springtime previously, because the deal was you had to make a certain percentage of weight. Like, if you weren't at weights 70% of the days, you couldn't even try out unless you played another sport. So I played tennis just because I was like, I'm not lifting weights fucking 7 out of every 10 days. Like, I don't have time for that. So I'll just play junior varsity tennis. So that's what I did. I played tennis also. That was my junior year, to avoid lifting weights to play football more competitively. Does that even make sense?
So did you letter in tennis and football?
Tennis. In football, I did.
So you have a letterman jacket?
No, I do not. I did not.
All right.
I'm not. I did not. Like, if I maybe as a sophomore, maybe would have.
Right.
My buddy Josh Heideman previously mentioned, he was the kid. Dude, this guy started 3 years in baseball. He played in baseball in college.
Sure.
But 3 years in football, 2 years as quarterback, and then 3 years as point guard on the basketball team. And this was like the biggest high school in Kansas at the time.
Right.
Now he's a very successful businessman in Kansas City. Great, lovely family. But I had this weird thing where all my really good friends just happened to be, not only at my school, but a couple other ones, like, really good athletes. So I just kind of grew up playing with them.
Yeah.
And just primarily let my lack of effort and grades was the main reason why I wasn't going to be playing. But was always just athletic enough to kind of, get by, whatever it was.
That's why they called Caesar the Deezer in high school, because he was getting so many D's. He was the Caesar and the Deezer.
A great story was senior year, I had Eli and Rick in my English class.
Yep.
And Rick Ingram, very funny comic, does the Comedy Store podcast. You should check that out if you ever get a chance.
And Eli Whitney, inventor of the
cotton gin. Also, that's also Eli's finishing move when he becomes a professional wrestler, is the cotton gin. So we just, it was a good time, needless to say, in that 7th-hour English class. And so come finals week, and it's the last day where the seniors get out of school 2 weeks early.
Yeah, good times.
Dazed
and confused.
Did the senior skip day. Everyone was awesome. A couple of our friends got run over in a Jeep. And and so last day of school. And I had it was like a 64%. But so I figured it out that with no chance of achieving a C in this class, only because even if I aced the final,
right.
it would not bump me into the 70%.
Hundreds aren't going to cut it anymore.
It's not. And then once I realized, look, all the studying in the world's not going to make a difference. But I did figure out then at that point was studying for five correct answers on a test of 150 would lead me to get 2% or 3%, I guess, or whatever it was, on the final. But if I got a 3% on the final, guess what my final grade in English senior year would be? A 60.5%. A D, which is the same as a 69%. So I said, fuck it. And I answered 10 questions on the final, turned it in. Mr. Gunner was like, John, you realize this is half empty? And I go, well, I do, but I guarantee you 7 out of those 15 answers are correct. And I was like, did some sort of over elaborate, you know, disrupting the class. Everyone's taking their finals like a dick, you know, and I was like, I'm out of here. Something walked out seventh hour. I'm like done with high school. Just loving it. Walking out to the parking lot, get about 25 seconds out the door. And I just hear Rick go, hey, John, stop. And he was like, hey, you forgot to have him sign your senior card. I was, shit. All right. So I had to walk all the way back in.
Yeah.
Totally ruined my grand. Like, had to have him sign it. And then I was like, okay, all right, bye.
And then all right, now it's the last two games of the football season. Okay. Let's get us back there.
Yeah.
And it's like a playoff situation if you win these two games. And that's what you're talking
about.
That
was the Blue Valley Northwest, yeah.
All right, so what happens?
So that game, actually, my good friend of mine, Jess Laurie. I'm just going to say the names, whatever.
We're going to drop the names.
Jess, great guy. I believe still lives in Kansas City, though his brother.
We're not going to hold you to it. Live wherever you want.
He was
man.
The starting tight end, which was my position. I wanted to play tight end because of Tony Gonzalez. In hindsight,
I knew Tony Gonzalez was coming up.
Just, well, he came into my work at Outback Steakhouse.
I almost said, when you said your friend was tight end, I'm like, he's the Tony Gonzalez. And then you said it with a,
it's like Tony Gonzalez is the should have been a wide receiver, but what? Anyway. I didn't realize how much blocking was involved with the tight end before, because Tony Gonzalez rarely blocked. He just caught touchdowns. You know what I mean?
He was Tony Gonzalez, but you realize, like, a tight end in high school, the coaches, you're not Gronkowski.
Not only that, our offense was totally not that at all. It was here, run the ball 58 times. So Jess tears his ACL or his ankle. He gets fucked up, and he's on the sideline, like, screaming. The coaches are da, 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 and I'm just like, shit, I don't know. I only know like five plays. Like, I'm running all the plays that I know in my head, which I struggled with that immensely, especially coming in brand new. You know, it's like I had no experience reading playbooks, and like, so they would shit, coaches would shit on me all the time.
Read those diagrams. This arrow, this X, this O.
So I'm freaking out. I'm like, God damn it. And I'm like quizzing. Jess's ankle's fucked up. And I'm like, hey, when we're in our formation, and on, like, do I go five left?
Right.
Or, you know, he's just like, what the? He's like, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm getting excited. And then I look over and see my other buddy, Matt Geralt, who was the backup quarterback, fullback, and just whatever, all purpose guy.
Yeah.
And coach comes up and he's like, oh, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to have Matt go in. I'm like, whew. Oh, God. I was so relieved. I was like, I'm going to go in and fuck this up. This game, like, still matters. Like, we're nowhere near this game. We lost the game, by the way. But so that was that game. And then our last game of the year was Shawnee Mission North, which was our rival since we were Northwest. And they we won. We crushed them. And that was the game where I go in and my buddy Dan looks at me and he's like, what the hell are you doing here?
Right.
Like, I'm playing football now, guys. Other than that, it was just special teams, field goals, that kind of stuff.
I feel that.
But that was my football career, and I feel like I just bored the shit out of everybody.
No, number 25, John Sheeser episode, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
If he'd been any good at football, we wouldn't be talking to you right now.
I'll tell you this, the halftime speech, because the Blue Valley Northwest game, halftime speech, that was Coach DeBold, 99. I hope you remember that speech, because it wasn't necessarily a speech, but it was just like a hairline away from, like, it definitely would have gone viral and all this stuff had it been, you
if
know,
the technology had existed then, would exist now.
Dude, comes in, goes right up to the biggest guy on the team, grabs his helmet, and just turns and chucks it as hard as he can against the bathroom wall. It explodes, like, earpieces, mouth, everything's just flying everywhere. Grabs another helmet, just starts bashing that against the wall, just... Not really. I mean, I guess.
And then what happened?
I guess we went out and got our asses handed to us.
But he didn't say anything?
He didn't go,
there goes your season. You know, like Al Pacino. He's like, this is the, and this is your season. And they tip over the fucking, the Gatorade table.
I think now that I'm, like, he went in with the slow build. Like, he came in, did the pace around. And that's what I'm saying. Like, to experience a 40-year-old man coming in. Purple.
Guys, by the way, so you know, being here in the studio with Sheezer as he's telling this, I don't know if we're about to come across a hidden, undiscovered memory, a repressed memory, if you will. We could, at this moment, we could unlock anything, and who knows what's going to happen. Keep listening.
I just feel blessed, and I don't know, because I got to witness some, like, almost hazing type, like, in practice. But anyway, the speech, slow build, grabs the helmet, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, all right, bring it in. And everyone's looking at each other. No one had any.
Take a knee.
Problem was, no one had any respect for the guy. You know, so it's like, all right, whatever. Just like not going to, just horrible play calling, all that other stuff. But it was, practice was great. They would just run us to death. I remember same guys throwing up every day. You know, drills, the coaches just kicking the shit out of people. Like physically, like with their feet, just booting people in the ass, like, what are you doing? Where are you going with that sled? Kick him in the ass again. I'm sure that's going to help the form. But, so my football career, all 3 months of it, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And then included in that is weeks upon weeks of ineligibility. Again, due to, I just slept. That's all I did in high school. So I was like, I just want to get the fuck out of here. And I just slept in every class. It was like a time machine.
All right.
Radio and TV I didn't sleep in. And then luckily Eli and Rick had some radio and TV, so they would actually come and get me out of other classes to go do that. But speaking of broadcasting, it's been, we had the Craig Sager thing, rest in peace and all that good stuff. To me, like personally, I felt it's like they made it all about the suit somehow. Like it all became, I mean, I guess that was just.
I don't know. I thought there were some lovely, it's like, I actually didn't know the thing about Craig Sager being one of the people to first interview Hank.
I did not.
Aaron,
he was in
so
Kansas
I didn't know
City,
about that.
Too. I was not aware of that. He covered the 1980 World Series.
So I thought, it was like, of course, it's a terrible story. And of course, Sportsaholics, thoughts and prayers going out to the whole, to anyone out there. It's, 2016 has been a real bitch, everyone.
Man.
It's 2016 has killed people from Bowie to Craig Sager, my mother, it's Gary Shandling. I mean, this year has been an absolute monster.
The hopes and dreams of 51.5 million Americans.
Absolutely. I mean, America, democracy may have died. The young pitcher from the Florida Marlins has passed away. I mean, we need like, if you're having a 10 bells segment, 2016. No. You need 2000 10 bells segment. It's like
so perfect that this, like, the shittiest of shitty years, barring like 1941 or 40 or wartime.
Like wartime.
The Cubs win the World Series.
Yeah.
Look,
there are great things about life and there are shitty things about life. And that is about, it's as my high school English teacher told us on my graduation day, he quoted a famous song. His advice to us, which I remember to this day, was you have to accentuate the positive, you have to eliminate the negative. But you know what? There's been a lot of negative this year, but there's been a lot of positive. Like, for example, I went to the Rio Olympics. I got someone to see one of the greatest sporting events that is possible.
Yeah,
and I had a thing that is what sports is. And, you get to be around people. Be around the people and the people who report it, like the Mike Tiricos, the Craig Sagers, the Dan Patricks, the Al Michaels. Like, hey, there's Al Michaels eating breakfast behind me, you know?
Explain to people. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Just what that actual behind the scenes looks like. Like, how much goes in? Like, there's five hands touching a face. There's earpieces. There's producer. You know, it's like.
You know what? In fact, I'll one of the things, I have a picture. I have a funny picture. So one of the things is I'm there with Leslie Jones. As you guys know, I was there with Leslie Jones at the Olympics. And one of the things they were doing is we were filming a segment with her and commentator Mary Carrillo.
Who's hilarious.
She's great and she's an amazing person. And we were going to the Ryan Seacrest. So Ryan Seacrest is doing a late night wrap up show every night from Copacabana Beach in Rio. And what they also, that's like the Today Show in Rio is coming out of there. And this is their
mini network hub kind of
right. And
Copacabana.
They have this open air set on the beach. But we are like you know, it's like Leslie's getting, it's Leslie and Sean White and whoever the guests of the Ryan Seacrest for that night are in hair and makeup, and we're in the wardrobe, and all of a sudden I walk over and there's just a rack of, there's a rack of suit jackets, but the suit jackets, there's little, there's a, there's little labels just on the rack, like saying this is, and it just says Al Michaels, Dan Patrick, Mike Tirico, and you're just like, and it's just like, it's like, and it goes four for four with names, and we'll put it on the, we'll put it out there.
So they just, they walk up and they're just kind of like, what do you call you going with, Al? Okay, yeah, I think
you're wearing the gray. Okay, I'll wear the charcoal. I'll wear the blue. Nice, you know what I mean? That was an interesting, it was an interesting thing, but the Craig Sager story, I thought it was very nice that. The NBA was clearly prepared, and they had the ref jersey things going.
About, in my mind, I'm like, wow, how'd they do that? But yeah,
they were ready, right. It's a tough story, you know. And also, it was one of those things where, as you come to the holidays, it's always hard. As my family, the Marino family, is going to go through the very first Christmas without my mother, who is the absolute queen of Christmas. You know, to anybody out there who's losing somebody, who lost somebody this year. Hey, we're all in it together, all right? So Merry Christmas, and let me, you know, in fact, let's switch to the next topic.
Yeah.
Which is Christmas in sports. Like, let's just, I want to, it's like, sort of, you were coming down, like, it's definitely December, we're just talking about that, so I want to talk about Christmas in sports.
I kind of think the NBA needs to back off on that, NBA has 12 hours of basketball on Christmas Day. Starting on West Coast time, you got to realize, you know, so it's East Coast game. It starts at like 9 a.m. West Coast. So you could be waking up NBA on your kids wrapping presents or opening up presents. And then at the end of the night, it's 9:30. It's the fourth quarter, the Warriors-Cavs game or whatever the West Coast game is that night.
Yeah, it's nuts. It has become like a college Saturday of football. You know what I mean? It is, right, you're saying, it's 9 to 9 or 9 to 12, whatever it is.
It's just not necessary. I mean, I don't have the games in front of me, but really just give me the Warriors. Give me the rematch of
the
finals.
But by
the
way, guys,
the finals
and NBA and flip it and get your, you know, last channel to Christmas Story and just start, you know, see where Ralphie is and then flip back all day between things. That's the thing to do.
I'll tell you what, though. The sports, the movies too. That's with the on demand now. It's great. You could just queue up. Had Christmas Vacation. Watched that, I think, 3 times in the last 2 days.
Well, the funny thing about Christmas Vacation is it was made a couple years before and called Funny Farm, and then they sort of made it as a vacation movie, and somehow it was a little bit more palatable in the movies.
Was it the same wife in Funny Farm?
No, it wasn't, but it was the same. It's the same. Like, yeah, Funny Farm was like the vacation movie that wasn't called a vacation
movie. Not a national.
He's not Chuck Griswold. He's not whatever Griswold. He's just, yeah. but he is. They're doing the same thing.
I wonder if that's a Lampoon or not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and that's probably why.
Yeah. But it's almost like, I mean, you know, there are certain things where, hey, this isn't, he doesn't happen to be doing this character, but he's doing this character.
Well, it's great. I mean, even you got the Cousin Eddie characters with the mailman, you know, that's driving around with the gas coming out of his truck, just chucks his mail, like nowhere near the box or anywhere around. And like, that's kind of his nemesis throughout the course, or one of his many throughout the course.
I want to go back for a second, though. It's interesting the NBA has this thing. I don't know if any other sport, I mean, obviously the NFL has a Thanksgiving tradition, right? But it's 3 games. I mean, they have a Cowboy game, they have a Lions game, and it's just like, look, Thanksgiving to me is you watch the Macy's parade, Santa comes, it's like the Lions are on, the Cowboys are on. Okay, now there's a late game, which they force two AFC teams, you know, it's like the butt fumble comes to us from a Patriots-Jets game.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Like some amazing plays have happened. In you know, it's like there's
the turducken, the John Madden,
right? There's weird fluke plays that have happened with guys touching.
Leon
and not
Lett effect?
Yeah. There's a Leon Lett thing. There absolutely is. And so there, you know, there's that
which made that game even more memorable because everyone's watching the game.
But
that makes
the
sense.
NBA with Christmas, it's also in some ways acknowledged as almost like it's like an opening day. It's like baseball's opening day, but it's like 2 months, 3 months into the season. Like, we've been playing.
Yeah, teams are what, like
17
18?
And 8. Yeah. You know, teams
25, 30 games in, something like that. Right.
But now it's this weird, like, because even like people like Bill Simmons, it's like they would talk about, well, you know, in CBA things, well, we're going to do so many things. And then because Christmas, that's when people start paying attention. Because you do, because
and some people argue it's the All-Star game, you know. But
that's even a separate thing. It's like this is weird. Like this is like a first third marker, or you know. But
first. Yeah.
But it lights your interest in a way that It's interesting.
Well, for me, you know, you can look at the standings, and then that's when teams will, like, pop out. You know, like, right now I'm looking at the Timberwolves, and they're just – they got all this talent, and they're just playing horrible, you know, and they
– except they beat the Bulls.
This, you know, it's just they're the Timberwolves.
Homie went back to his old home team, and he beat them. He showed them. But I also – and then let's take a break. Let's take a break, and then we got to talk about we're going to have to talk about some fired coaches.
Well,
some
the NFL. When you mentioned that off the air earlier,
we're going to talk about USC when we come back. We're going to talk about USC football coach rehab, Tuscaloosa. When we come back,
and I want to also mention Larry Eustace. You remember Larry Eustace?
We're gonna get into it right after we take a break. We're taking a break right now. We'll come back. Bye. Welcome back to Sportsaholics, the Halftime Report. This is your sideline reporter, Eric Marino. I'm reporting live from the studios of Sportsaholics. Halftime, we're just about to start the second half of the show. How do you feel the first half went so far?
So far, so good. I think I kind of got long-winded with the high school story, and that's my own fault. That's something
It was your episode. To be fair, this is episode 125, the John Schieffer episode.
I was expecting some light. Let's just, you know, on a scale, let's say I was expecting a flashlight worth. Instead, I got like a lighthouse worth of attention, and I just felt like I could have carried the torch a little bit brighter.
All right, so what are we looking toward for the second half? What should we look for from Schieffer, Marino, and Sportsaholics?
I'm going to pass the momentum and topic baton. I think we got some good things to talk about coming up that I feel pretty passionate about, and you have yet to get into your Jesus America.
All right, this is Eric Marino from the sidelines of Sportsaholics, and we'll be right back with the second half of Sportsaholics right after this. And welcome back to the second half of Sportsaholics. I'm Eric Marino. I'm here live to tape on the Sunset Strip with the one and only John Schieffer. We're in episode 125.
That's right. Right in the heart of it. And I'm right to my left, to your right at home, is going to be the one and only Eric Marino. Finally in the great city of Los Angeles for more than a week at a time.
City of Angels.
We've got him pinned down, and we got him here live and
Schieffer,
in person.
We have some L.A. football to talk about is what we have to talk about. There has been a firing, a firing. Let's all take a knee. Hold on. I want everybody out there. There's a new segment we're calling Take a Knee.
It's getting real.
Because Jeff Fisher got fired. Now I want to talk about a couple things while we're all here on one knee, and this is not this is just a regular coach pulling you in, taking a knee. Let's talk about things. This isn't a national anthem, Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. All right, so this is just a take a knee.
But huge difference.
Jeff Fisher. So here we are. We're all on a knee. We're taking a knee, and Jeff Fisher got fired. Now, yeah, take a knee, That's because this is what the segment's called. Take a knee.
There we go.
All right, so take a knee and huddle. Bring it in. Take a knee, and we're going to talk about Jeff Fisher got fired. Lost his job. He was on Hard Knocks. He was the head coach of the LA football Rams on Hard Knocks on HBO just a few months ago. And then after they announced that he has a 2-year extension, he got fired within 2 weeks. That's what happened. He got fired.
Two weeks after the extension?
Oh, right. No, because the extension evidently had happened earlier in the preseason or even in the offseason, but no one made a big deal out of it. And what happened was when Eric Dickerson started to start yapping Jeff Fisher, all of a sudden, evidently, in the back annals of the things that move people and who talks to who, and this is why you hear that what in the news, suddenly, you know, Jeff Fisher's people announced, I think it was like the week after Thanksgiving, hey, you know, by the way, just in case you think Jeff Fisher's on the hot seat, you know, he got picked up for 2 more years, which was really he got picked up for 1 more year with a team option for the second year. But that also sort of came as at the time with Jeff Fisher. But here's what I'm saying. Well, A, he should have just played Jared Goff the whole time then, shouldn't he? I mean, if you're going to fire him, he should have just gone all in with the kid.
From the beginning. I mean, I guess unless he was so bad that he was just like not going to happen, which.
Or can I say this is like, hey, Hard Knocks. Real talk, she's Hard Knocks ruins football franchises. It ruins seasons. Only the Houston Texans in recent memory have actually and that was because the AFC South was so terrible.
And even the Chiefs crushed them, you know, last year.
But I'm saying that's like they resurrected, like they were falling apart. I think there's a thing that Hard Knocks, you know, look. Like the Raiders or Tom Brady. When they do like, hey, the Patriots win back-to-back Super Bowls, NFL films, yeah, that's smoke up your ass. But you know what you don't have smoke up your ass? During preseason. And it's like the Atlanta Falcons were on the verge. That guy, by the way, the guy who is the head coach of Atlanta Falcons Hard Knocks, he's gone. The guy who is the head coach of Miami Dolphins Hard Knocks, he's gone. You know what I'm saying? The guy who was the head coach of the only Dallas Cowboys still there because he's the bastard son of the owner. But that's a different topic. So here's what I'm saying, Cheese. We're here on a knee, and you're fine.
I'm back up off the knee.
I'm on a knee, and metaphorically, we're all on a knee because we're saying Jeff Fisher fucked if he did, fucked if he didn't. Should he have started Goff the entire time?
I mean. In hindsight, always being 2010 better than perfect, yes. Absolutely.
Ted Williams' vision, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
absolutely. Don't even think
and
about
it. And I'm
just
going to say this. Matt Williams of the Diamondbacks and the Cleveland Indians, met him one time. He has 20/07 vision. Or 07. Not 27 vision, 20/7 vision, which means he sees something 20 feet away like it's 7 feet away. And that's why Matt Williams is better at baseball than either one of Sheezer.
And I believe also played for the Giants briefly.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, so then there's more NFL LA. I mean, there's more L.A. football news. There's more L.A. football news.
You got, okay, the Sarkisian now.
So USC, Steve Sarkisian.
Which, by the way, was previously going to take the SC job years and years ago, goes up to Washington for, I believe, 2 years, then comes back, takes the SC job, loves himself some, I'm going to guess, a gin, some sort of classy.
Drinking on the job.
I mean.
A classic Merino. And I got some empathy for Sarkisian. I'm a guy who was too drunk to fly in Rio, people. I mean, sometimes you like a cocktail during the work hours, you know, and I judge my sophomore year world cultures teacher a little differently now in hindsight, because maybe if I was teaching sophomore world cultures, I'd be drinking during the middle of the day, too. But so Steve Sarkisian, Sheezer, is now in official career rehab in Tuscaloosa. The University of Alabama, Roll Tide, has taken another former USC Trojan troubled coach and said, you troubled USC coach are my OC.
I think it's a great, I mean, good for Nick Saban. I don't feel like there's that much of a drop-off, really. And then you get recruiting ties still in the West Coast, so you can bring in a couple West Coast guys to Tuscaloosa. I don't know how, but you know, if they win again this year, that'll be what, his fifth national champion or fourth?
It's crazy. It is crazy. So you're saying it's like, hey, like right now, honestly, I'm thinking about sending my resume to Alabama so Nick Saban can hire me as maybe like an assistant comedian coach. I might need to rehab my career there is what I'm thinking.
You also have Ed Orgeron at LSU, and he was an offensive coordinator at USC for years back in the, you know, not too long ago.
LSU coach Orgeron is that all of his LSU coach Orgeron news came very quickly around the Oregon coach firing, and so you weren't quite sure. You had to do a double check. Were they saying Orgeron, meaning LSU? LSU or saying Oregon meaning Oregon. Yeah.
Well, what I love about Ed Orgeron is that he looks like he's from the Bay. Like he just.
I wish that Oregon had hired Ed Orgeron. I'm going to tell you that I really wish that happened. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our new segment. Take a knee.
Well, and then post take a knee, I was also going to say you got Lane.
You keep talking about it. I'm just off. Now let's go ahead and play this game.
So you got Lane Kiffin then, who goes to Florida Atlantic. Who immediate their first sign, the first person
Florida
they sign.
Atlantic, we're the best. I don't know if that's their theme song, but I'm available.
We have this
Eagles.
New thing. You have Florida Atlantic and then
the Owls?
Southern. Something like this, some sort of hawk. And then you got the Southern Florida Bulls.
I was just there. I was just there because that's on the Tampa side. That's that USF.
Yeah,
the Bulls.
They're, I think, a relatively
or
new
the Toros,
program.
Or some team from any given Sunday. Basically, they're a team from any given Sunday is
right.
What they are.
There is, you know.
That means the Al Pacino any given Sunday.
They got as high as number two in the country in the football polls like 4 or 5 years ago. It was a while back.
They're like the Boise State of the South.
And it kind of, in the same thing with Texas where you've got, let's see, SMU, Houston, Texas Tech, Baylor, Texas. Who else am I leaving? Oh, Texas A&M. So you've got 5 or 6 major college. Like, so really with Florida, you have Miami, Florida State.
Florida, Miami.
So what I'm saying is Florida Atlantic and then USF, both there's room for them also to be good. And don't be surprised if some point in the next 2 years – all 5 of those Florida schools be ranked in
listen
the top,
to that fans out
top
there.
25.
Hey,
Lane Kiffin is the
don't
man.
Don't be surprised. This is Sportsaholics telling you, John Schieser is telling you, don't be surprised.
Look, Lane Kiffin set the bar really low with his first signing, which is DeAndre Johnson, former Florida State quarterback. You might remember from that amazing bar footage where it's a crowded bar and then there's some girl like pushes a guy and then some guy punches a girl in her face and then her face explodes all over the bar. Yeah, that's the guy that Florida Atlantic just signed. Lane
it's
Kiffin.
Weird where recruiting videos are becoming like World Star Hip Hop videos. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here's a picture of your top recruit punching a girl in a bar.
Very talented guy. And the thing is, it'll come up again because he'll have a really good season. Like, he's a talented dude. So this video is just going to be back on ESPN. Maybe it's kind of graphic, actually. It's very disturbing to the point where, when you watch it as a coach, maybe you're like, man, I that's a quick fist. Like, it's, you know, he's fast. I mean, I don't know how they're not watching that video and being immediately disgusted, but instead they're looking at it like, I guess we can see past that. It's like, no, you can't really. I mean, I'm not even going to pull it up, and the cell phone service is
spotty. We're spotty on Sunset, everyone.
Yeah, it's because it's the goddamn Hollywood Hills here that block the towers coming over.
And those Hollywood nights. Let's give it up for Bob Seger, everybody.
Absolutely. And
Silver Bullet Band brought to you by Coors.
See the man. You know, 2016 is not over with. Who knows? He might
fall. Oh, my
through.
God. You might have just. By the way, just remember that's recorded. If that pulls up. If Bob Seger dies between now and December 31st, 2016.
I'll feel real bad. I'll go.
Dude, you made him put the fickle finger of fate on the Silver Bullet Band's leader, Mr. Bob Seger.
Dude, I hope not because, man, that man has gotten me.
Hollywood
through.
Nights. It got me out here.
I was just going to say that. He's gotten me through hours and hours of West Texas
and
New Mexico.
And by the way, never mind this. You know what you need to do sometimes out there in Sportsaholic land? You need to turn the page. You need to turn the page. Marino's turning the page, and we're going to turn the page. I'm going to turn the page right now. I have one more. I have a big topic.
What you got?
Johnny Manziel.
Where did you find him?
I want to talk about this because Johnny Manziel's back in the news. She's because he recently became Twitter friends and real-life friends with Derek Carr of the Oakland Raiders in some sort of reach out. Hey, we were in the same draft class. I'm there for you, bro. Twitter bros. They're
okay.
Twitter bros.
Okay.
But here's my biggest problem because now there are a couple things going on in this story. Guys, A, we all know that Johnny Manziel, former Heisman Trophy winner, former high draft pick, not number one draft pick.
He was like 23rd or something. First round,
22, but like the second pick of the round by the Browns. He got sort of he was in Snickers and McDonald's commercial. He's rep by CAA, and I believe in some ways that Hollywood like. Agents kind of forced him to become a starting quarterback in the league for the Browns when maybe they should have just stayed with serviceable Hoyer. Like, and it was like,
let him sit on the bench like Goff.
Right. But now here's a couple things that are going on. A, The Cleveland Browns' last starting quarterback to win a game is Johnny Manziel. And it has been over, by the time we recorded this, it has been over 365 days, people, wow, since the Browns won that football game. It has been over a year since they've won.
It's sad. I mean, it was $8 to get into the Bengals-Browns game.
Johnny Manziel $8. Lost his starting quarterback. Like, in the year since they won, the Browns have demoted Johnny Manziel from starting quarterback, still didn't win a game. They then cut him because he had problems and went to rehab or whatever he did. And then he had a problem with a rental house. And then they waived him in March. But here's this weird thing that, and you know, there's also a domestic battery inquiry. There's some incident in Dallas with his girlfriend.
Which went away.
No, it didn't go away. It's actually still under investigation by the NFL. No. This is I'm going to get to this. If Johnny Manziel does come back into the league, like this investigation, like there can be, he could get suspended games before he ever actually gets to play again. But here's the thing I really want to talk about, Cheese. Here's what I want to talk about. Johnny Manziel is not in the league. He was actually given a 4-game suspension by the NFL.
For the drug violation.
But I want you to know this. His suspension, his 4-game suspension is considered served. Even though he's not been with any team, he's not spent a single day on an NFL roster since March, but for some reason the NFL gave him a 4-game suspension after he got cut. But the 4-game suspension has evidently been served, even though he was on no team. Even though he has no games will be served. I mean, it's all goes to like time served because you're just fucking, you're spending all 16 out of the league, Johnny.
Yeah.
So we're not going to fuck you even hard. Like if somebody like the Browns or anybody wants to bring you back, you don't have a 4-game suspension, but you kind of should is what we're saying.
At least 2. I mean, give me the fact that, because it would be...
Oh, at least a half. Give me at least the Johnny Manziel half-game suspension.
God, why do I feel like that Manziel ends up with the Patriots in like next year? And then
and he kicks like a... But he kicks a drop kick, like the last drop
just
kick.
Just fluties it. Right,
yeah. Or suddenly Johnny Manziel, Belichick picks Manziel and they start running the single A wing from like 1934.
All right, hey, you swing out wide and I'll lateral it to you.
And the 6th lateral goes to Johnny Manziel. Johnny, okay. Crazy legs Manziel.
The black fella's going to run down the sidelines and you pitch him the ball.
All right. So any thoughts?
Was that under Belichick, by the way, that drop kick from Flutie?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
He must have loved Flutie then. I mean, they're probably the same age.
You're talking about an absolute student of the game. We talked about Burt Jones. We talked about Burt Jones last week. All right, guys, I was recently back home. If you didn't hear the episode that I told this story on, sometimes the advantage of being home in New England, I was home for the Thanksgiving break, spending some great time with my dad in New Hampshire, and you get to listen to the local radio, and they have an interview. You know, they have one of those press conference calls with Bill Belichick. And this was right after Tom Brady and the 201st. But they basically, the question was, hey, Bill Belichick, you can have any quarterback aside from Tom Brady. Like you can't, like you're starting a franchise from scratch. You can have any quarterback, not Tom Brady, all time. And he's like, all time? They're like, yeah. He says, and then Bill Belichick says, healthy? And they're like, yeah, all time at complete peak health. And his answer, Bill Belichick answered, and this is a crazy answer out there, guys, be ready for this, was Burt Jones of the Baltimore Colts. Burt Jones. Now, here's the thing. Now,
I've never even heard of Burt Jones.
Right, but back in the 70s, like it's like the AFC East used to be Steve Grogan was the quarterback for the New England Patriots, Bob Greasy for the Dolphins, Joe Ferguson for the Bills.
Bradshaw.
No. You're talking about the Jets was Richard Todd. No, it was Richard Todd. No, I'm talking about when I grew up, the 70s, early 80s. And then there was Burt Jones. And Burt Jones, I believe, actually becomes like a Miller Lite guy. Like he becomes one of the Miller Lite less filling, you know, guys. And Belichick, if you guys know Belichick coaching history, he was a coach on the Baltimore Colts when Burt Jones was a quarterback. But Belichick, they were asking Belichick about It was one of those things where Chris Hogan had just thrown an option pass the week before, but also he turns out that he's left-handed. So they were asking him, because it was very similar to the Edelman option pass they'd run against the Baltimore Ravens several years ago in the playoffs. But he was – so Belichick is waxing rhapsodic about – you know, left-handed throwers. They once had Keith Byers back in the 90s with the Patriots. It's like a left-handed – he's even like a left-handed cornerback isn't expecting an option play because everyone's so right-handed. You know what I'm saying? All right. So he's being really fascinating. And then he starts talking about like, hey, how do you know that this receiver or that receiver can throw? And he's like, hey, look, if anybody basically he's like – he's giving you the reality of being an NFL coach. And what he's
just analyzing talent and just
no, he's saying if somebody has an arm, they're going to show it off. Like if somebody has athletic skill on the athletic practice field, you're going to see it. If somebody can punt left footed, you're going to see what weird shit people can
the
do.
The trick shots after.
So he was saying that back when he was a coach, he said when he was a coach with the New York Giants, you know, and they went to won two Super Bowls, you know, they were talking about the Phil Simms, Lawrence Taylor. Pepper Johnson fucking and I'll the reason I mentioned that. So these are the Giants, and he's like, hey, you know, back in that day we practiced in Giant Stadium every day. There was no practice bubble, there's no practice field. We practiced in Giant Stadium like back in the 80s, and
it's
he was
cold as shit.
But it's also one of those things, like, so what he was saying is like basically the players would have this thing about trying to throw the ball from the field into the mezzanine. Like,
ooh, okay.
Right? And he was like, basically Lawrence Taylor had a cannon and could put it up there. And he was like, and Pepper Johnson was kind of like, he could put it up there or bounce it off like the last row of seats. And Phil Simms, who is the quarterback of the Super Bowl winning Giants, kind of couldn't get it all the way there. he could get it really far, but it was clear that like Taylor could get it up there at will.
Knocking out like ice cream.
Even you're saying
vendors.
It's like, hey, maybe my outside linebacker is a better quarterback than you are. That's how good Lawrence Taylor is. So then now he gets to Burt Jones. This all evolves into Burt Jones, and he was also an assistant coach on the Baltimore Colts. And this is what he says. So this is how you realize, you know, guys have talents. He goes, so I'd be throwing the ball with Burt Jones. I'd be throwing it, you know, you're just throwing the ball. He's warming up, just throwing the ball. And he was like, and it's weird. Like every fifth or sixth pass, all of a sudden, it's like he whips it around the other side of his head. Like he's so flexible. Burt Jones, evidently, guys, is so flexible that he can pass a ball. He can throw a spiral. He's right-handed. And instead of throwing the ball by your right ear, he's actually whipping his arm. He's bending his whole shoulder around his left ear and throwing a perfect spiral with the same rate of speed from around his head. He can whip the ball around his head almost like it's an optical illusion, to the point where Bill Belichick is saying, did that just happen? And like a couple passes go by and he'd just go, Bert, did you just
throw the ball from a...
And he goes, yeah. And then he'd do it again. And then he would just like every five, six passes. And so that was that thing where it's like Bill Belichick is such an amazing student of the game. He has been around so long. It's an institutional knowledge that he and his father, it's like, I got to tell you, honest to God, if I could have one sports job... Because I thought there were times you're like, oh, maybe I should get into like PR for the Dodgers. I could be an intern at the Jets or something. Like, you know, you get into and have a different career path. I'm very interested in what it's like to get taught how to break down football film by the Belichick's coaching staff. Like, what they tell you to look for. It's like, because there's a whole thing about breaking down film. And I got to be honest with you, one of the things we need to do in the upcoming year, we need to talk to people about what breaking down film means, because I would love to
figure it out, get a coach on. Well, actually, a friend of mine from college and a brother-in-law of another good friend of mine.
Good friend!
He is a head coach of an arena football team in Kansas City, and... Maybe we can.
You have arenas in Kansas City?
Oh yeah, several. They're desperately trying to get that NBA NHL team, which will never come. But yeah, so we could have him on, because I know he was talking about having to watch hours and out because they had open tryouts.
Yeah.
And like the team is makes up consists of, from what I can tell looking at the roster, it's a lot of Division I guys, like guys from Oklahoma State and stuff like that, that, you know, are 1 or 2 year starters, maybe 4 year starters, but, you know, recently, and they're still in their mid to late 20s, you know, kind of a thing. Really athletic guys, but he's getting tapes, you know, from some guys like community college ball, haven't played in like 7 years, and he's just like, yeah, that's not gonna fly.
Dreams,
sorry,
man.
Yeah, exactly. Dreams. You got to try. You know, I could throw
Kurt Warner.
Bet I could throw the
boxing things at Costco in the Iowa Barnstormers.
Yes, yeah.
Making things happen.
Yeah, that was a crazy story, but yeah, no, you're right though, because and that was one of the things with football to go relive some of the old glory days. The film room was horrible. Like I'm like, what am I watching? Like, and then they would just. When you messed up, they would just single you out and just shit on you.
Jesus, 25, no, terrible.
No, I never played. So,
yeah, I understand. Yeah. But that's what they never quite
great
said.
Great job. No, it'd be something like, great job with the water over there, Sheezer.
The water boy.
You know, one of those things. excuse me. But what about the, you got any desire to go to Lakers game, Clippers game this year? I want to see LeBron this year before. I think this is his last.
I don't know. I mean, it turns out LeBron, Love, and Irving, they just sometimes they take whole game, all of them, all three of them won't even travel.
True.
So could be a thing where they might not even show up to Clippers tickets.
Which I don't know. That's
what I'm looking for. Look, here's the thing I'll tell you about living in Los Angeles. As a person who doesn't actually and can never actually like the Lakers, I can't like the Lakers. It's in my blood. My blood is green. It's Celtic green. I'm never going to like the Lakers. But what I'm fascinated by, I'm not against the Clippers. And I kind of want to see if the Clippers can build themselves into something like the Anaheim Angels. Something that can rival. But, I mean, Anaheim is also separated by, it's really the other county. It's another.
Yeah, they don't share the.
It's a different gravitational field. Whereas this is, they share the same arena. And I would love to see.
There is, for the listeners at home, there is a world of difference between L.A. and Orange County. I mean, they're only 20 miles
apart. Right, but in the world of the Clippers and the Lakers, let's be real serious. The Lakers have been a non-factor for seven years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but it's like even any expectation of, no, it's like aside from the fact that they're the Lakers, you know, look, the Knicks, Celtics, Lakers, the Cowboys, the Yankees, there are certain franchises that will historically always get a kind eye. I mean, honestly, what's happening for the Dallas Cowboys is lightning in a fucking bottle because the Cowboys are better than they – I'll put it to you this way. The Dallas Cowboys are finally as good – as all their fans for year after year have thought they were going
it's been
to be
22 years since I think they
no this 11-1 like they had, you know, they won the most games in a row ever
in their
right?
franchise,
and
right?
It's like you're talking about and their quarterback is like 2 games away. He still has like 2 games to set the all-time winningest rookie quarterback. It's lightning in a bottle, and there's still maybe Tommy Romo.
It's great. As soon as it gets bad, they're like, well, what's Romo doing? It's like, I don't know. You guys wanted to trade him last week, and now all of a sudden he's like the savior.
But bringing that weirdly back is the Clippers have a gravitational problem. Unlike almost any, it's almost like a race problem. You know what I mean? Like, you know, women out there that are listening, you feel like you have to do more. You have to do a job better. If you're a minority, guys, you might feel like you have to go, you know, it's like, hey, Obama had to be so much better than Donald Trump to become president, just as a human, as a person. You have to be that Jackie Robinson to break the color barrier. What I'm saying is the LA Clippers they suffer from that. Like, it's like
the
Lakers have white privilege, if you know what I'm saying. It's like the Clippers are the minority, the women, they are the underdog. They are the ultimate. There is no sports
franchise. There's a glass ceiling in Staples.
This isn't the Mets, guys. The Mets, they've won titles. And there's a different rivalry. There's a different vibe. I mean, if the Red Sox before they won were the Mets, so they're in the same town. It's like there's such an older brother.
It's kind of like LA's.
By the way, Lakers is it's older brother versus adopted brother.
I was gonna say this. It's like the Clippers were in some other city that the Lakers were brothers or sisters with that city, and then that city died tragically. But in the will of that city, was it the Clippers?
They are the adopted foster redheaded stepchild.
Via Buffalo, I think originally.
You're right. They're the Buffalo Braves or whatever the fuck they are. Yeah, they are so. And so it's like, and we've had, what is it called? What was it before? It was before the Splash Brothers. It was Dunk City. What the fuck were they?
Lob City.
They were Lob City?
Yeah, or something. No, that might have been in.
Right.
It's like, been
now
in
you don't even remember.
Portland.
Because, by the way, it's like what Chris Paul and Blake Griffin were doing.
Is done almost already,
right, because also the fact that Blake Griffin punched a guy that you know they don't actually like each other. There's a weird.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Weird mercenary quality to it. Like they're all just stuff. It's more
Chris
like.
Chris Paul got hurt. That's what happened.
There's something about. They're like. The Lakers are always on a cruise ship, and the Clippers are always in a lifeboat. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're always fighting. There's something desperate and thirsty about the Clippers that never goes away.
Well, the thing, like, the Clippers beat the Spurs in the playoffs, you know, and then and then lose in the next round.
I'll put it
you know
this
mean?
Way, Sheez.
Like, the rest of the NBA is like, thank you. Appreciate that.
If the Clippers could win the NBA title this year, and going into next year, people would still predict the Lakers to do better than the defending champion Clippers.
Well,
in a weird way, like
maybe,
still,
like,
or they'd be even
diehard Lakers
they'd be,
fans,
or they'd be. I'm saying the LA Clippers literally have to win a championship to draw even with Laker fandom, the Laker impression
at its lowest. Possibly.
No, like right now, like to finally, it's like, look,
dude, Laker
everybody,
down.
The thing about the Clippers is everyone has been, Sean Livingston, the number of, Lamar Odom, the guys that we were going to change.
Darius Miles.
The guys
Chris
that were
going
to, right, they were going to change
Richardson.
The fortunes. They were going to change the fortunes. There's a point where the LA Clippers have been turning a corner for so long and they've been
Michael Olakande.
The Candyman, exactly. Like there was one of those things. Like I can't believe the Clippers.
Did
the Clippers
dude,
never draft
David Stern's face? And the number one pick is from Pacific University.
I'm
Michael
Olakande. Like, how did Greg Oden not be a Clipper? Do you know what I'm saying? Like they should have ended up trading for his rights because that's how snake bit the Clippers have always been.
A rehabbed Lamar Odom pre brothel overdose.
And you might get him back. Like, in some ways, like, it's still weird. By the way, is Paul Pierce still playing for them?
Yes, he is on the bench.
But didn't he retire? I don't know what's happened.
No, he's getting like 4 or 5 minutes a game. God, I love you, Paul. I mean,
Kansas.
I grew up watching Paul Pierce when I was a kid in KU, man. He brought some funk to that mid-90s, you know, because we were getting right out of that Rex Walters, Jared Haas era. So we entered into the Paul Pierce.
I enjoy him a lot.
Rafe LaFrance era, Scott Pollard. Jacques Vaughn.
I always have to say, Paul Pierce has
Greg
one of
Ostertag.
The prettiest ugly games.
It's funky, yeah. It's very much, it's like a more effective Antoine Walker or
the Wiggles,
more
sure.
athletic.
Oh, yeah. There's also a little bit of, like, there's also, I remember
he's
always.
Sneaky quick. He's got, like, sneaky athletic
ability. But
there's
a herky-jerky, you know what I mean? Like, and the way he gets fouled or gets fouls called on him, he's always a big, it's a flail. And in some ways, there's a little bit of that ugly knuckleball Tim Hardaway action to his jumpers. Like it's because he has 3-point range and he can shoot from all over the place.
Yeah, I mean,
but
we saw him do that.
It ain't pretty.
I was glad he stayed in Boston for so long, you know, and then survived a neck stabbing.
Face stabbing?
Oh, my God.
To the face.
I thought it was a neck deal. But anyway, yeah, so this is Paul Pierce's last year. So maybe I'll go to a Clippers game instead. I just want to see LeBron. This or next year, that's it. I mean, already it's gone by. LeBron, the prime, it's over. You just can't. He started playing when he was 18. Remember, that was like the last year.
2003.
That the 18-year-olds could sneak in. So like Kobe, he's coming up. And three
yeah,
more.
No, it's crazy. He has more playoff games.
He's been
games.
In like the league 13
he has,
years.
He has 14. More playoff. He has more playoff games than Jordan.
Really?
Like, I just heard it. You guys can look it up. But it's the numbers are crazy.
I think he just passed Moses Malone on
minutes.
The all-time scoring list,
oh, yeah,
or number
yeah. So
seven or something. I mean, he's going to crush Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, barring some horrific injury. But
I never bar horrific injury.
Yeah, it's well.
No, I'm just saying.
The thing
is, it's like I don't.
Because like
no,
Paul Pierce,
by the way, there's
LeBron.
No point to even talk about this topic. I'm gonna end this topic because it jinxes things. I'm not gonna talk about it.
Okay.
And we'll
yep,
be right
I'm
back.
Just saying.
We're gonna be right back. Okay. We're gonna regroup. Because I don't want
to
talk about it.
And before we go to break, guys, real quick, if you're in San Diego, down in La Jolla, Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street, and we all know it's Catty Corner from the Comedy Store. Which
or Kitty Corner if you're not from wherever Caesar's from.
Kitty or Kitty Corner. Kitty or Catty. Either way, it's a fucking feline corner from the store.
That's dumb.
Is Don Carlos Taco Shop at Eat a Burrito. Also, go to onelovely.com. Bunch of great shirts there. And Laugh Prince new website, LAUGHPRINTS. Check them out, laughprince.com. Bunch of funny
these
stuff.
These are the plugs. These are the plugs. These are the plugs. Two-minute warning.
That's right. We're back. We got 120 seconds-ish to wrap up the show.
Better have a final thought. We only have 2 minutes left in this show.
Well,
I think it's been a good show.
You took a huge, well, not a huge swig, a good 4-ounce pull off that beer. Right when, there we go. Another. Oh, yeah. That,
I'm just trying to make it happen. I'm nervous. It's the last 2 minutes.
Okay, anyway. Final thoughts here.
Last 2 minutes brought to you by Rolling Rock.
And laughprince.com. I'm going to plug my shows. I've got March 17th, 18th, I believe. It's a Friday, Saturday in Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room. Two shows, hopefully four shows if some of you people down in the Ozarks can come out and check that out. And then the night before, I'm in Jeff City, the capital, and then Topeka a couple days before that. But those dates are all on johnjonishere.com.
Show up, go up Sunday night. You can watch it on Periscope, guys, Sunday night. And it's the last one before Christmas. And then we'll see you all. Have a happy holidays and a new year. Caesar, final thoughts?
Final thoughts? Yeah, I guess this will probably be our last episode before we get back.
That's not necessarily true. We might have bonus. Oh, that's not true. You're going
to
leave.
We can squeeze one in maybe before
the new year. Phoner, but not face to face.
We'll figure it out. But
we are like Frosty and Snowman. We'll be back again someday, people.
But now that I'm back again in L, it wouldn't be an episode without the sirens coming
live.
Down. That's perfect.
To tape 30 from seconds. Sunset Strip.
But now that I'm back in the land of angels, this will be a more frequent occurrence face to face. And if you guys are in LA, yeah, show up, go up on Sunday, and open mics Monday if you want to get up. That's
not
store.
Has nothing to do with me. Mondays have nothing to do with me at the Comedy Store. Sunday night, show up, go up, 10:30 to 1 a.m. Sunday nights in the belly room of the world-famous Comedy Store. Guys, you guys have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Merry Kwanzaa, or whatever that is. You have a Happy New Year because 2017 will be 2017% funnier.
Happy Festivus.
I'm Eric Reno.
I'm John Caesar.
This is Sportsaholics. You stay obsessed.
Stay obsessed, please.
Yeah. what I give. And you looked in time, but just a few moments. What would I give? Just to have you near. Tell me you'll try. Slip away somehow. Oh, I need you, darling. I want to see you right now. Yeah, slip away, slip away, slip away, yeah. Oh, I need you so. Love, oh love, how sweet it is. When you feel it, darling, let me tell you something now. How sweet it is. I know it's wrong, the things I ask you to do.
Ladies, let your hair down, let your hair down. We's about to get out.
He ate it.
Favorite tune.